Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Apostle Crystal Lee, excited to be here with you this evening for our Torah Today Prophetic Parashat Kitisah. I'm excited to be here with you tonight. I am almost exhausted, but I just had to press my way because I believe the Father has so much He wants to say to His sons tonight. So I want to be a part of that transition, a part of that shift, a part of that momentum, that kingdom momentum that He's releasing in His sons tonight. And orders of the Lord that He's given me concerning this particular parashat, I didn't want to try to linger it over into next week. I promise you, I had a lot going on in my mind. Just got in off the road and made some stops to see about some people, and was just kind of in that place where I wanted to just kind of stretch out. But I believe that pressing my way tonight is going to really not only be a benefit to you, but to me. I promise you, we are in the season of the pushback, and I promise you, if the adversary is pushing you, if he's pushing up against you, if you're sensing that there is a pressure in your environment, it is for you to produce something in this season. So don't quit. Don't faint. The Bible declares that those that are reapers will be those that don't faint in that time of doing well. You know, when you're doing the right thing, when you're doing well in what you're doing, the Bible declares that if you don't faint, you'll be able to reap. So there's a reaping time. This is the hour of the reaping. This is the hour of the harvesting. And the Father's calling sons to the field to begin to pick up that which has grown and overgrown for us to be fed and for us to have abundance in this hour. But we've got to press through. We've got to push through. And we've got to watch our fields as they're growing, because as we're coming into this hour of perpetual harvest, we've got to make sure that we're watching the fields. We got to watch the fields. We can't sleep on our fields in this hour. We've got to protect our fields. That's a word of the Lord that He was given to me earlier about guarding. And we're going to talk a little bit about guarding today. I don't know how far we're going to get, but I'm going to do my best. Until I can't go anymore, I'll go tonight. And if whatever we have lingering, we'll just go with it next week in next week, well, this week, parashat on our Sunday prophetic table talk. So if you're on the line, if you're listening in, I would love for you to call in. I'd love to share this time with you and this platform with you. There are several leaders that I've spoken to today, and I definitely want them to be on the line to share this time with me, some things that they are going to need to share that I believe are really going to bless you. We are really in a time where we're dealing with the extremes, and I believe this particular parashat is one of the most important parashats of all of Torah, and it's going to be really important that we identify. Hold on one second, y'all. I think that's one of my elders calling me. Let me get her in here on the line. Blessing. Give me one second. I'll bring you guys right back in. Hallelujah. Yeah, that was one of my people, so I just wanted to make sure that I made the connection there. I guess they were just seeing if I was up, because I am just a little bit tired, but I'm excited about this word, and I want to be a part of what the Father is releasing to us tonight. I believe that this is the hour that he's calling for his sons to become everything that he's called us to be, everything that he's created us to be. The Psalms begin to discuss our unborn substance, and I believe that he was the maker, he was the shaper, he was the former of everything that was unknown in another season. Now we're coming into the age of it being known, not only to the world, not only to the earth, but to us as sons. The Bible declares that not only is the earth in travail, but the creature is in travail. Not speaking of wild animals, not speaking of something out in the wild, but those that the Father has embedded his spirit, his Ruach Kodesh, the ones that he has breathed his very essence into, that we have not come into the fullness of all that we are. I believe this is that time, and that's why a lot of times I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 6, talking about those that have tasted of the powers of the good word. They tasted of the good word and the powers of the age to come. I believe that that's the time that we're in. So we're going to be discussing just a couple of things tonight. And like I said, if we don't get done with all of it, we will definitely get back to it next week. And all of this is in connection. But we're dealing with some great extremes. With great extremes. We're from one end to the other. And I believe when we're dealing with major extremes, I believe that the Father is expressing something to us. When there's a repetitive conversation, I believe that this is important and that the Father is really expressing something to us. So today's revealing and recalibrating of sons of a new age is going to be surrounding the parashat, Exodus chapter 30, starting at verse 11 through chapter 34. Verse 35, and yesterday we just kind of went over that the reading and the related passages are going to be a reflection of some of the things that we've already read. So we'll be reflecting back on our Tetzuveh and our Terumah. The contribution was Terumah, and then the Tetzuveh was You Shall Command. That's basically Exodus 25 all the way up to 34 today, and we'll be basically covering a large territory, but I believe everything that the Father desires to say is so connected, even as how he presented it in his word, the connection and how it's so cohesive, even as we're discussing the temple and all of the things that were created and all the articles that were made and all of those that were called to the service of the temple and that unity there, everything about the Father and about his kingdom, there's a cohesiveness, there's a unity in that body, in that construction, in that infrastructure. There is great unity in the kingdom. And so I'm just excited because I believe he's also bringing the sons together in this hour. I know many of us have been like Elijah in the other hours and just kind of wondering, where is everybody else? Where are my relatives? Where are the people I'm supposed to be connected to? Because it just felt like you were just all by yourself. And there are seasons when the Father calls us to be by ourselves, even with Moshe. You see him, he's in the land of his, where his father-in-law is, where he's married a wife and now he has children, and he's standing before the burning bush by himself. There's not a large amount of people. There's nobody else there with him. There's nobody else to share that moment with him. There are just some things that the Father will just speak to you about by yourself. He'll call you aside and begin to have a conversation with you, and you won't be able to explain it to everybody. You won't be able to say it to everybody in that particular time, but there will come a time when that thing becomes a manifestation power, a manifestation of his glory. Everybody wants to talk to me tonight. Everybody. Hold on one second. I need to answer this. This is my oldest son. Everybody wants to talk tonight. Son, I'm on my radio broadcast right now. I'm going to call you as soon as I hang it up, all right? I'll call you as soon as I get off my radio broadcast. I'm live right now. Why don't you say hi to the people? I don't know if they can hear you. Since I got you on.
It's 2019, things are changing.
That's right. Things have already changed. So wake up. That's the key right there. Wake up. And I believe the word that I'm going to share with the people tonight is going to wake them up. It's going to wake us all up, and we're going to be able to move as we need to move in this time. So I'll call you as soon as I get off the line, son. I love you.
All right. Love you too, Mama.
Okay, baby. Yeah, sometimes you just got to answer the call. You know what I'm saying? I know most people think, oh man, that's just so unprofessional. Well, that's my child. So this is a season where I'm putting some things first, you know. This is a season where some things are just a priority to me. No, they're not in the way of what I do, but they're a part of what I do. So I'm just excited again to be here with you. We talked yesterday about the coverage that we're going to do here, and I believe that Yah has a desire for his kingdom to come. And so in all that we're looking at the kingdom, the very essence and the nature of that kingdom coming to the earth. We're looking at the very essence of us being a part of bringing the contribution, being the contribution. You listen to what I'm saying? Following the command that he's given. You know, he gave command to Moses to give to his sons. You know, and this is important because there is an order. Even in this thing that we're reading, there is an order. So as he's speaking to Moshe, he's expecting that Moshe is going to deliver the message to the other sons for the fulfillment of his vision. And what is the Father's vision? We got to understand that the root and the basis for the vision of Yah is his kingdom to be in the earth. So when he created the heavens and he created the earth, there was no delineation there. There was no separation there. The heavens and the earth was a part of his kingdom. And so he places his man in the garden. That's a lot going on outside my door, so I'm just making sure I'm hearing things properly. He places the man that he formed, and I want you to understand something about all that he created. Why I call us his crown creation is because he went beyond just speaking a thing. He went beyond just declaring a thing and it happening. He began to declare a thing. He began to have a conversation amongst the gods. He began to have a conversation. Let us make man. I know a lot of people like to have the discussion that he's speaking to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, but it goes so far beyond that. The Bible declares that he sits in the council of the gods, among the gods. He takes his seat as the important, as the preeminent one. He takes his seat in the midst of them, and he declares, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And not only does he declare a thing, but then he begins to use his own hands, his own two hands. And I wish I had time to really go into some more depth concerning this thing, but there's a word, it's called solemn. That word solemn discusses the essence of God, and it shows the two yodes, it shows the very hands of God that God shaped, that Yah shaped mankind, that he went beyond everything else that he had ever done. And not only did he shape him and form him with his hands, but he also breathed his very essence, his very life into mankind. And this is why this is so important, what we're going to read today. Because in that separation, the Father had some expectations. In that separation of mankind from everything else that he created, he had some expectations. And, of course, the enemy, as he had come down to the earth, Revelation chapter 12, he came down to the earth. He was cast out of his former state and began to take some off with him, some of the stars off with him. And stars are not what they think it is. They're not what they're telling us it is. These stars are actually represented in the scripture as angelic hosts, and angelic hosts are not winged ones. We'll get into that some other time, but they are a creation of Yah, and they are those that fellowship. You'll notice, I'm just going to say this, you'll notice that there are some passages where the angel of the Lord begins to speak to one of the sons in the earth, and they are called also the sons of Yah, and there's a reason for that. But they begin to speak to mankind, and sometimes mankind would fall down and begin to bow his head, and they would say, no, get up, I'm a servant just like you. No, get up, I'm as you are. That means something. No, we're not separate from one another. I'm just operating from another dimension right now, but we are one and the same. He said, worship God. Don't worship me, but worship God. And so we're going to see that one of the things over the course of the Torah reading, one of the things that's really a great value is understanding where our worship belongs. You know, where we're to put our worship, what we're to put our worship on. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We've got a lot going on in the earth and a lot of people saying a whole lot of things. But at the end of the day, the Father is the one to be worshipped. He and he alone is to be worshipped. And everything that man is to do for Yah, it's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of your ability. It's not a matter of your gifting, although your ability and your gifting is a good thing because it's a grace that he gave you. But that's not the priority. The priority is first the spirit that's yielding that's leading you, that you're operating from, the spirit that you're operating from, and then your availability to be used of the Spirit of Yah to accomplish in the earth what the Father has called you to accomplish. So, again, I'm just excited. Exodus chapter 30 is where we are. We're going to look at that, and I'm going to take you through just a couple of things. So if you don't have your Bibles already, get your Bibles, get your notebooks and pens. We're going to dive into these cleansing waters of the Word right now, and we're going to get some revelation and some recalibration in this hour. We're going to get rid of some old paradigms that come from this system that we live in, the world system, and we're going to begin to pick up the mantle of the system of the eternal kingdom of God. That is the eternal kingdom of light, and we are sons of light, so we're going to walk in the light even as he is in the light tonight. I'm excited. Let's go ahead and get into this. Father, we just thank you tonight for what you're doing. We thank you for strength tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you for strengthening of the sons. We thank you for strengthening the leaders tonight. We thank you for strengthening your people, that we might begin to stand strong, that we might begin to be very courageous about the things that you've spoken to us, be very courageous about the things that you have placed in our hands. Be very courageous about the responsibility that you've given us in this hour to execute with precision the word that you're speaking, to execute with precision the things that you're commanding, to pull back the very bow, the archer's bow, and to release the arrow and let it hit the direct point today, God. We thank you right now that it's going to hit the target every time, that we're going to have prophetic accuracy, apostolic precision every time, because it's your spirit that's leading us. It's your spirit that's guiding us into all truth. So we open ourselves up right now. We make ourselves available, not just able, but available bodies right now to be able to hear what you're saying, to be able to perceive what you're saying, to be able to see what you're saying, and to become what you're speaking to us about. We thank you for it right now, and we declare it so. We declare it so. There were some markings that I gave you guys, and I'm just going to kind of start diving into this and going over just a couple of things. Again, we're in our parashat this week is in Exodus chapter 30. Chapter 30, that's where we are. We're in Exodus 30, starting at verse 11, and this is parashat Kitisa. It means when you take or when you lift up. And we're going to share some things. Verse 11, I'm just going to kind of read into it, and then I'm going to go start going down the line of some things that I had you guys to highlight. Verse 11, and Yah spake unto Moses. I want to stop right there, because you're going to notice that one of the priorities for leadership is to hear the voice of Yah. Yeah, one of the priorities is to hear his voice. We've got a lot of people that are in the earth right now. We've got a lot of people that are operating from places right now that they declare are kingdom places or kingdom positions. They're operating as so-called apostles, as so-called prophets, as so-called evangelists, teachers, and pastors. But why I'm saying they are so-called is because they have so-called themselves, because they're not hearing the voice of Yah. One of the priorities of leadership is that you be able to hear the voice of Yah, because you have to allow him to speak to you and to tell you what his desire is. The Bible declares that he gives us the desire of our heart. Not that he takes whatever we feel like we want or whatever we desire and give that to us. No, he gives us what to desire. He gives us the very desire of our heart. So I'm so excited tonight just to be here with you. I've got somebody on the line with me that's in the 313 area code. Very empty. I don't know who that could be, but I'm going to open your line. Blessings to you. Blessings to you.
Hi, how are you?
Absolutely amazing. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. You're listening to us from Detroit area?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's good to have you here tonight. I'm going to leave you there. If you've got any questions, feel free to ask tonight. If you've already read the passages, I'm going to dive in. And then as I'm diving in, if you have a question, just highlight it. Did you have something you want to say before we got started here tonight?
I mean, are you doing prophecies? Are you doing readings? Or what is
well, tonight we are reading through Torah. We're actually doing a prophetic conversation about the Torah passage that was last week's or this past Saturday's. And so if you sit by or stand by, you'll hear what we're saying. I've already prophetically spoken to the sons, and I'm sure we'll be doing some further prophetic speaking to the sons. That's what we do here. So if you'd like, just hang around and listen up and see what the Father would have to say to you this evening. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and it says, and Yah spake unto Moshe. Now let's go on to verse 12, and it said, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Yah, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. Now, this can be really confusing. This is why it's so imperative that we study. And let's just be mindful tonight. It's so important that we actually get beyond the search, because as we are coming into covenant with the Father, he prepares what we need. He gives us what we need. He puts us in a position to receive of him everything that we need. And we really don't have to go searching for anything, because if we're in proper alignment with him, and you'll see that here in the text, as we are in proper alignment with him, as we've read prior parashat, we've looked at the desire of the Father and what he's spoken to us concerning what he desires. And so the covenant is what he desires. One of the things that he began to speak about in Exodus 25, I believe it's 25, and we'll go to verse 8. I want to read that just before we get going here, because this is important. When we understand the very desire of the Father towards his creation, he says this. This is all the way back in Terumah. He says this, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. This is so important. See, we're looking for so many things. We're looking everywhere for so much. But because we don't understand what the very desire of the one that created us is, we're on a search for something that we should have already found. We're on a search for something that has already found us, but we've not decided to choose it. We've not decided to choose him and to walk in his way. So we're still searching. And we're going to find that out tonight. This is why all the way over in chapter 34, all the way over in chapter 34, actually 32 of the parashat today, we see the people, as Moses is delaying to come down out of the mount, they're becoming confounded. They're becoming confused. They're embarrassed. And we'll talk about that embarrassment shortly, but they began to create something that is in opposition to the Father's desire. They begin to create a thing to actually stand in the stead of another thing. They begin to create a thing. And so that's the age that we're living in. Let's go back, because I'll get wrapped up in that, and I want to stay in the order here. It says, when I take it to some. Now, this can be really confusing, because it almost, as you're just reading the English words, first thing that we're going to have to understand about the scripture is that it's not from our Western perspective. So while we're looking at these English words, these things that have been translated, we must go and dig it out. We must go and study what the word is actually saying, or else we'll be absolutely confused. We'll think that, you know, he was supposed to count the people, count their heads, and then after he counts their heads, take money from them, and, you know, and that they were actually paying for there to be not a plague amongst them, as if they were actually almost like a gang, you know, where you're paying the gang to protect your territory or whatever. That's not how this operates. Let me tell you what this is saying here. When I begin to do the study, I'm going to read it just as it comes across, and let me pull it up here in front of me as well so I can go ahead and refer to it in the places where I have not written it. We got a lot going on here, so let me pull that up here. Let me pull that up. All right. It says here, this is how it reads, when thou takest, that means lift up. When it's where it says the sum, it actually is lift up the head. So it's nasa rosh, that's lift up the heads, the first, the chiefest. It's speaking of lifting up the leadership, those that are to go before a thing. And it says of the children, it says lift up the first, the head, the chiefest of the children, really the sons, that's what that word is about, of the sons of Israel, which is also Jacob. You remember that? Okay. So it says lift up the heads, the first, the chiefest, we're going to put somebody first here. And who are those that we're putting first here? Who are we lifting up? Who are we putting in this position, this high place right now? The children or the sons of Israel, these are the prevailing ones. So I'm going to read it again as the Holy Spirit showed me as I studied it. Lift up the heads, the first of the children or the sons of the prevailing ones. Are you hearing me? That word Israel is referring to Jacob. And you remember that Jacob was the one that wrestled in Peniel. He wrestled with the angel, right? And his name actually means he will rule as God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remember when he went into his father's house, he was dealing with his mother's brother, Laban. As he's dealing with him, there's some things that transpire, and in that transpiration of things, Jacob is put at the forefront of some things. Well, that was just his whole life. And a lot of people give Jacob a bad rap, but they don't understand that this thing was prophetically spoken over his life. Before any of the things that happened, before he was in the place where he was pretending to be his brother Esau, all of this was planned. It was the switching of the hands from birth. It was that before anything happened. When his mother was hosting him and his brother in her belly, she began to have a discussion, what's going on in me? And the Bible begins to declare to us that the father tells her, two nations are in you. And he begins to share that the younger will rule over the elder. He begins to have a conversation about the order of things. And this is what this is about. This is what Torah is about. It gives us the order of things. And so Jacob got a bad rap because a lot of people like to call him a trickster. He's not a trickster. Supplanter doesn't mean trickster. It means one that grabs the heel. It means one that is on the heel of a thing. You know, I may have been second, but I'm on your heel. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he never stole his brother's birthright. His brother gave it to him for a pot of lentils. So we got to really come into the understanding. That's why I'm saying one of the things that the Father wants to do as far as recalibrating us is change the very paradigm, these old paradigms that we've been operating from that are of the world system. Why am I saying world system? Where do you get the concept that he's a trickster when that's not written? That's not what's written. But Jacob is one, his name actually means when it's changed to Israel, he will rule as God. So again, the verse 12 is lift up the head, the first, the chiefest of the sons, the prevailing ones. Okay? And it says to number them. That means to charge them. Not to count them, but to charge them. In other words, I'm going to give them something to do. Charge them. Then shall they give every man. See this? If you just read it as the English words, then you'll be confused because you're thinking we're going to number them and then everybody's going to give such and such and so and so. No, this word number here means to give an account. It means to charge them, to give them an appointment, to give them an appointment. And this is the appointment. Then shall they give every man a ransom. What is a ransom? It's a sum of money. It's a sum that satisfies something. Are you hearing me? It's a sum that satisfies something. It brings atonement or it reconciles an account. That word atonement, if you look at it, it can be broken into three spots, and that's at one man. What is it saying here? That every man bring a sum, a satisfaction, and at one man, something that reconciles the account of his soul. The account of his soul, what's his soul? His mind, his will, and his emotions unto Yah. Okay, so what are we doing? We're coming into at one minute with the Father through something that he's requiring of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's requiring something of us. This is what he's requiring in this actual chapter, in this actual verse. He's requiring something of those that are the head, that are the first. Are you hearing me? So he says, lift up the heads, the first, you know, put those at the forefront, those that are the chiefest of the sons, the prevailing ones, those that are to rule as God, charge them so that they can give a ransom, you know, so that they can give something that brings at one minute, puts them back in alignment, their souls in alignment with the Father. And it says, when thou numbers, okay, when you charge them, that there be no plague among them when you charge them. In other words, listen, because of your obedience, it's gonna bring an at-one-ment, it's gonna bring a reconciliation that's gonna prevent any kind of plague, that's gonna prevent any kind of destruction. We've been talking a lot about this season, and one of the things we've been talking about is the affliction of the soul. This is imperative. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Understanding what it means to afflict oneself from internally so that you don't have to be afflicted externally. What is this? This is a perfect example of it. He's saying you're going to do something. This is something that you're doing from yourself. Are you hearing me? That something won't be done to you, against you. Are you hearing me? Verse 13, it says, they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, that are charged, a half shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. This is an offering of Yah. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me about this being an offering of Yah. You know, the offering must first be of him before it can be unto him. I need you to hear this again. Before you can offer something that is of him, I mean unto him, you have to offer the thing that is of him. In other words, the thing that he's requiring, the thing that he's requesting. See, we live in an age where people just think, oh, because I go to church, oh, because I go to Bible study, oh, because I'm a pastor, I'm a deacon, I'm a whatever I am, you know, that's something that I'm offering unto him. But the question is it of him? Is it something that he's requiring of you? Is it something that he has charged you to bring to him? A lot of people are bringing things that he's not, that are not of him. And the way that it's of him is because he's asked for it. It's because he's specifically given a charge concerning a matter. So before it can be an offering that is unto him, it must first be an offering that is unto him. Did you understand what I'm saying? Before it can be an offering that is unto him, I'm sorry, it must first be an offering that is of him. In other words, he sanctioned it before receiving it. It's set apart, and then it is received. It's required, it's requested, and then it's received. Does that make sense? So it's an offering of. That's why in verse 14 you'll see, give an offering unto. First of, then unto, and then it requires by the age of the people. It says 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto. Now, who are these people? This is not the whole of Israel. This is not the whole of the Hebrew children. This is specifically the heads, the first, the chiefest. And who are they? These are the men that are 20 years and above. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what is the Father even saying, even in this? He's saying that I have set a specific order. And when my order is followed, it prevents things from happening amongst my people. We were talking about this the other week. It's so important that we understand that corporately we must guard against things. Corporately we must deal with sin corporately, not just individually, but corporately. We recognize Achan brought some things into the camp. They were not supposed to bring those things into the camp, especially the things that were to be hallowed and to be put into the treasury of the Father. Those things that were supposed to be put into the treasury were not for personal consumption. They weren't for personal belonging. You'll notice that about the oils. You'll notice that about those three principal spices that are in verse 22. There's a divine pattern that he sets there all over again. And before we even get there, I want you to go down to verse 17. It says this, and Yah spoke unto Moses, saying, That's throughout this whole passage. He's continually speaking to his servant. Why? Because he wants to give a specific message to those that would hear the message, those that he's speaking to. He wants to be very specific. Go back up to verse 15. It says, the rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less. Huh? It discusses a half shekel. Half shekel. In this verse, I believe that the thing, it says to make an atonement for your souls again. That's a thing that's continuously repeated. It's saying over and over to bring you in a reconciled position, to reconcile an account, because I'm charging you to do something, and what you do is going to reconcile an account concerning me and you. But listen to this. That half shekel discusses equality. So we're not in a place where he's saying, I want the rich to give more and I want the poor to give, you know, do the best they can. No, he's saying, listen, I'm putting you on equal footing. on equal ground. I want a half shekel from everybody. Everybody that's 20 years and older of the men, of the chiefest, I want you to give me the half shekel. I'm putting you in a position of equality. Verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money to the of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before Yah to make at one man for your souls. Here we go again. It's repeated over and over. What is this about? It's about you following the pattern, following the instruction so that there is a cohesiveness, so that there is a unification, so that the enmity is not set up between you and the Father. There is an at one man with your soul that is knit to your Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is important to make it one man. It says here that this shekel is to be appointed for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. We go right back to Teruma and Tetzaveh. There was a participation that was needed. You know, he was requiring something out of everybody at one point. And what I'm loving about these passages is the cohesiveness, and we began to talk about this a little bit before we got started, but there's a contribution that everybody's supposed to bring to this place. I'm requiring something of everybody. There's a contribution that's necessary for this thing that I am demanding that is a mirror of what I am presenting, what I represent in the heavens. I want it represented in the earth, and what I want represented in the earth is going to take your participation. Are you hearing me? He said it's going to take your participation. He talks about this laver of brass and its foot of brass. To wash with oil, thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. You know, he's given all of these pieces again. He's sharing what all of the pieces are that go with this congregation of meeting. And it's important that this position that he's putting this thing in is in between the altar and the actual entry to the holy place. That's right before you get to the holy place. There's this washing place that is set there for the priest, for Aaron and his sons to wash at. Now, it discusses, and thou shalt put water therein. As I was writing that down, it reminded me of Ephesians chapter 5, which is symbolic of the word. Water is symbolic of the word. There is a washing of the water by the word. He said, listen, before you come to me, I'm going to start incorporating verse 19. Before you come to me, I'm going to need you to wash. I'm going to need you to wash by the water of the word. I need you to wash. And he says this, that Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. Now, when I was looking at this, this was so powerful to me. When I was looking at this, hands represent authority. They represent your mean. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your ability to do a thing. He said, I'm going to need you to wash your ability. I'm going to need you to wash your power and your mean. He said, and your feet. You know, I'm going to need you to wash the place that you explore with. I'm going to need you. Here it is. He said, wash from your way of doings. Wash from your way of doings, from your way of searching what you are after and what you are creating. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wash what you are after. Wash yourself and free yourself from what you're searching, from what you're after, from what your hands can create, from your way of doing things. Are you hearing me? They shall wash with water. They die not. This is important because, see, what brings death, when I'm talking about death, I'm not just dealing with immediate physical death, but it is the thing that sets us up for physical death. Separation from the Father is a form of death. You know, what puts us in these positions and these cycles and these systems that are diabolic in nature is the fact that we have not washed ourselves from our own way. You know, when you start dealing in relationships, one of the things that can be the most damaging is when you have created your own way, created your own reasoning concerning how you're going to relate with people, create your own connections, you know, instead of allowing the Father to give you divine connections. We really think we're supposed to go out and just, you know, make connections with people, just do a bunch. The Father has always been about separating his son. Always been about that. He's from the very beginning, the very thing that the Father created was a separation between light and dark. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We live in an age where people don't even understand the difference between clean and unclean. You know, so all they're searching is what they're searching. They're searching for what they're searching for. They want to do what they're doing. They want to create what they're creating. They want to be after what they're after, and they have no concern for the fact that before they come into the presence of Yah, they've got to be purified. They've got to be washed from their own doings. They've got to be washed from their own concepts and their own ideologies in order to go into the holy place. Because what's represented in the holy place is the bread that he's prepared to be there. That's the bread that he has prepared to be there before him. Are you hearing me? That's the bread that he's prepared. So this is important. It says that they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto Yah. So they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. Do you hear that? It's repeated over and over again. Over and over again. It says in verse 22, moreover, that means again, Yah speaks to Moses saying, it's a constant. Take thou also unto thee three principal spices of pure myrrh, 100 shekels, and sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hen. What is this about? It's about a divine pattern. He says, listen, I've got a divine pattern I want you to follow here, and this is after the oil. This is after the art of the apothecary, the one that mixes a thing. This is the one that's gifted to blend some things for it to come to an end result. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All the way down to verse 30, it says, and this is the thing that you're going to anoint and consecrate with. Not something else, not just plain oil, but the thing that I'm commanding you. Because these specific things have specific attributes. I'm not going to go into the attributes today, but I'm going to encourage you to study the attributes of cinnamon. I'm going to encourage you to study the attributes of myrrh and sweet calamus and cassia. Study the attributes of these things, and you'll begin to further understand why the Father has chosen a specific thing to be that he's using for a divine pattern to be the oil of consecration. The oil of anointing. He said, this is what you're going to anoint. And by the way, after I call you into this divine pattern to do this thing for me, this is not something that you're going to do for yourself. See, what's happened in the body for too long, what's happened in the church for too long, as a poor example, is the fact that people are making common a thing that the Father wants to separate. There's this mindset of things becoming common that the Father wants to separate. So he says, listen, this is not something that you're going to make for yourself or that you even put on a stranger. This thing is holy unto me. Are you hearing me? This is specifically for me. 36, he said, and thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it in before the testimony. Put up it before the testimony. I have a specific place I want you to put it. I want you to make it this way. And then I've got a specific place for you to put it. You know, we've been looking at some things over the last couple of months, and I keep catching these numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was catching today just randomly 4, 5, 6 and other things, 10 and then 12. You know, just 10 and then 11, 12. It's just there's an order. That's what I want to say. There's an order. The Father is calling for divine order in this hour. There are a lot of things that have been out of order, not properly operating. He said, I have an order, and when my pattern is followed, when the blueprint is followed, when my statutes are followed, when my law is followed, when people understand what I'm saying and want to come into covenant with what I'm talking about, they don't want to do their own thing. They're washing themselves from their own way, washing themselves from their own thought process, washing themselves from their own authority. Then they can receive of my authority, and there can be a resemblance of my kingdom in the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he wants to deal with the sin of things. That's clear here. He wants to deal with the sin of things. There's a specific fragrance that's supposed to be emanating from that holy place. Not supposed to be common. It's not supposed to smell like something other than the thing that he's assigned it to smell like. This is really important. It's not supposed to be something that's used for everything. It's supposed to be set apart. is something that's uncommon, not something that's being made common. Okay? Chapter 31, let's go there. It says here, and Yah spoke to Moses again. He said, see, I have called by name Bezalel. I love this passage here. I love how the Father operates in this place. The name Bezalel means the shadow of Yah. This man that the Father has called to operate in this place is his very shadow. You know, a shadow is really close to the real thing. It's not afar off. It's right there. The light is being cast, and the shadow is just off of the original thing. You understand what I'm saying? So Bezalel means the shadow of Yah. He also places him in the midst of a people that are gifted and anointed, whose hearts are wise-hearted, and the Father puts wisdom on them so that they can help make all that the Father has commanded Moses to make. But there's a particular guy here named Aholiab. Aholiab is one whose name means the tent of Yah. So we're creating the articles for the tent, but I am the very tent. My name means the tent of Yah. I'm the shadow of Yah and the tent of Yah, and that's who's operating to function in this capacity to create all of the things that need to be in its proper place. Can I tell you something? Partnership and companionship, those are the most important things in this hour. Partnership and companionship, the most important things. You notice that in partner, the word part is in there. That means it's more than just one person. It means it's something coming together. You'll notice that pattern a lot in the scripture. Something is coming together. When you see companion, you see company. You see accompaniment. You understand what I'm saying? Again, that denotes more than just one. I love this word. It says here in verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of Yah. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, I know, you know, we've got a lot of things that we've been taught and a lot of things that we've heard over the years concerning different dispensations and different this and different that. But the reality is the plan of Yah has never changed from the beginning of time. When he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, that breath of life was the Ruach HaKodesh. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of Yah. Are you hearing me? And right here in Exodus chapter 31, we're looking once again at verse 3. It says, and I have filled him. Now, from what we've been taught in the church, they say, oh, no, the Holy Spirit was just on them. But right here it says he filled him with it. So where do we get the dispensation of the Holy Spirit? Where do we get that dispensation? Even when we start talking about the dispensation of grace, that's already in operation. We're going to see it again when Moses delays to come down from the mountain. The Father says, I will have mercy. That's a grace on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. That's grace in operation in what they call the Old Testament. He is who he is. He doesn't change. Who he was from the very beginning is who he is in the thing that they call the New Testament. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's always been his nature. It's a part of his name. It's a part of who he is. Okay? It says, I have filled him with the Spirit of Yah, the Holy Spirit, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. I need you to look at this because we're looking at several of the seven spirits of God here in the Old Testament. In operation, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, that's three. But all of these things are connected to the knowledge and in all manner of, I'm sorry, all of these things are connected to the manner of workmanship. So your gifting does matter. However, your gift is not a priority. The spirit of the gift is the priority. And then he can see, it's something about this thing here where he says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. This word wisdom is not just a normal word here. It's not just a normal word. I want to actually pull it up for you because I want you to see what the Holy Spirit is really saying. We're in chapter 31, right? I want you to see this for yourself. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Yah. That spirit there is Ruach, right? And we know that this word God here is Yah, it's Elohim, okay? But this word wisdom is Chokmah. And what does this mean? This word Chokmah is discussing the skill, right? It's discussing the wit. But this word also is dealing with administration of a thing, but it comes from another word. It comes from a word, kakam, which discusses to have a teachable spirit and to be a teacher. To be a teachable spirit and to teach, to be wise, to be able to be instructed and to instruct. Listen at this. This word wisdom here. It's not just something that you know, but it's a place that you've been allowing yourself to be taught in. Okay? This word here that says understanding. Let's look at this word understanding. The word understanding there is the word tabum, and that word tabum in the Hebrew, tabum, discusses discretion and reasoning. It discusses a certain level of intelligence, the act of understanding or having the faculty to understand a thing, having a specific divine insight. Are you listening to me? An intelligence, a discretion, a skillfulness that requires a specific insight. Okay? And then we're talking about knowledge. We're not just talking about the knowledge of a thing like we know 1 + 1 = 2. No. This knowledge goes beyond this. This goes right back to Holy Spirit. This knowledge here is the word deat. Okay? And that word deat there discusses again, it discusses again to know something that you didn't know before. It's an ability to perceive something that's being shown to you and to have full occupation of the thing without having gone through the process before now. But because you had a teachable spirit, because you were wise, having a teachable spirit and understanding, meaning you were easily perceptive. You had a perceptive that gave you a constitution or an availability to operate from a place of discernment that allowed a skill that you didn't have before because you were teachable. Teachable. This is something that you didn't know before. But now you have a craftsmanship about yourself, something that was not there before. You're acquainted with a place that you weren't acquainted before. You hearing me? It says here to devise cutting works, to work in gold and in silver. So all of these things were things that were given to them to do. I want to say this. Every grace requires a team. This is why I shared the word of the Lord to the leaders that are on the front line. The Father is sending pit crews to you. I'm telling you. He's sending you your pit crews. Why? Because every grace gift, every God ability requires a team. See Elijah. Are you hearing me? This is why Elijah felt out of sorts. Until he got Elisha, he felt out of sorts. Until he anointed the next king, he felt out of sorts. Why? Because he felt alone. He needed a team to actually accomplish the things that he was getting ready to do on the earth. The things that he was going to accomplish were not necessarily going to be all at his hands. He had to actually give this mantle to somebody else so that they could do double what he did. He actually made an extension of himself in the earth to continue a work and do even greater. But that required partnership. It required companionship. The Bible says here in verse 6, "And the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Partnership, companionship, important. We're going to see over in chapter 32 how the people, in verse 6, it says, they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and then rose up to play. It's a time for everything. But who you're partnering with is going to determine what you're going to be doing and whether it's going to be appropriate in its timing. Because if you're in a place where you need to be breaking through, you don't need to be breaking bread. You got to be in a place where if you need to shut it all down and you need to be in consecration or you need to fast, that people will join forces with you. Look at Daniel. He's got three comrades. He can go to them after he's leaving the king's company, after the king's decree goes out to kill every prophet in the land, every magician, every soothsayer, kill them all because can't nobody interpret this dream. He said, wait a minute. Why is the king's matter so hasty? Let me talk to him. He goes in and he says, listen, I have an answer for you. The God that I serve, it won't be my cunning, it won't be my craftiness, but he does answer. And just give me just a minute. I'll come back with an answer for you. But he shows up with it where his partners are, where his companions are, and says, listen, I need you guys to go into a place, go into the presence of Yah. I need an answer for the king. And they all go into the presence of Yah. And he dreams a dream. That's the answer to the king's situation. But he has the right partners. He has the right companions. This ain't no playtime. You know what? I really want to ask the question because I hear a lot of people talking about balance. And I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, this playtime and all of this stuff. But I'm really trying to figure out because I really just enjoy the word. I really, when I'm watching a movie, I'm watching it because I'm assigned to watch it to get something from it. Not because I just want to go kick my feet up and be mindless. I really want to know where this play part comes in because play just kind of takes us away. I'm not saying that we can't enjoy ourselves, but there should be a lifestyle that we enjoy. Godly lifestyle is what godly people should enjoy. Is that making any sense to you? Godly people should enjoy godly lifestyle. We shouldn't have to go to the club to have fun and then call that balance. Does that make sense? We shouldn't call that balance, you know. Well, yeah, I went to church on Sunday and I do this and that and the other and I prayed for 4 hours today. But, honey, I just had to go let my hair down. What? What are we talking about? What does that even mean? How is that balanced? Oh, so you just completely switch positions. You just completely switch sides. Anything that we're doing in the earth, I don't care if it's standing in the grocery store line, if it's grocery shopping, whatever it is, if you're bowling, whatever it is, the Bible declares that men should see your good works and glorify the Father. So there should be something that you're carrying, namely the kingdom, something that they see on you, namely you should be a living epistle to be read of all men. There should be something that you're walking around with that men can read and see it on you and notice that there's something different about you that would cause them to want something that you have. To want something that you have. Let's go down here to verse 12. And it says again, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Oh, this is a touchy subject. And oh, that I wish I had pulled up this article that I have on this whole, you know, the Catholic Church changing Saturday worship. As you know, as in keeping the Sabbath that the Father instituted to Sunday, and everybody in the whole earth is just following that decree that was not made by the Father, but it was made by the Pope. I'm just saying. It says you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. He says this is going to be a sign between you and I. This is a sign that we're connected because we show up in a specific place at a specific time to do a specific thing. Look at Moshe. He's called up into the mount. Can you imagine if he decided, I don't want to go. I don't want to ascend to the mount. I don't want to be caught up. I don't want to be in that place. I just want to stay down here with the people. How do you get a law that's written by the finger of Yah to give to a people in a low place? He said, no, you have to come up for this. That's one of those leadership principles. There's an hour of a coming up. And even, now I was sharing this with the people of Yah on the line. We're doing 30 days through the Bible, and I promise you, it's like 40 chapters a day. It's 40 chapters a day. We're reading for like 6 hours a day. Absolutely. You do all kind of stuff. You veg out on TV series for a whole day. So, yeah, we read the Bible for 6 hours, 4 hours a day. Absolutely. We've dedicated ourselves to eat this word so that we can become what the Father's called us to be. While people running around looking for prophetic words, we're getting it right out of the scriptures. We're understanding our proper identity and our proper position in the kingdom. We're understanding the king's desire to have habitation with us and how we need to position ourselves to be that habitation. Are you hearing me? People running around looking for everything, and that's why they wind up in so so much situation. They wind up in so many things because you're looking everywhere for everything and you have not found the thing that you need to be looking for. You have not searched for the one that you need to be looking for and found it of him, that thing that you need to fill every void that you, that makes you search. You know, when the master wound up at the well with the woman, he says, listen, you got six husbands and the one that you're with ain't yours either. Or did he say five? You got five husbands, and the one that you with ain't yours. But if you let me give you water, this water that I have to give you, you'll never thirst again. She went from looking for something, being thirsty for something, to being filled with everything that she needed, to going out and becoming an evangelist to her whole town. Are you hearing me? Because she wasn't searching no more. She wasn't coming to the well looking for something no more, because she contained the living water. So now she can come at the regular time of the day because she's coming at the heat of the day. You know what she's going to find at the well at the heat of the day? People that's just kind of stragglers. You know what I'm saying? They was out just wandering around and they got thirsty, so they had to come to a well. And when they got there, she was there to take the load off. Let me give you some water, honey. Let me wash your feet, honey. You understand what I'm saying? The master wasn't there for that. He waited for her. He was there on purpose for her, to give her this living water. And when you think about this thing that's filled with water, that's another place that we've got to understand. That water is purposeful. It's intentional to change our composition. And we go back to the feet and the hands. It changes the course and the trajectory of what you were doing. Who's on the line with me? Where are my people at tonight? I know I told them if they was tired, they could go to bed because we got to be up in the morning. We got to be up in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says keep the Sabbath. That's a touchy situation. Because I think people, they do things, we have a tendency to do things the way we want to do them. But the scripture has given us explicit instructions on what the Sabbath is. He says 6 days shall you do work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. You shall do no work. It's a day that's hallowed to me. It's a day to set apart for me. That's the day to set apart for us. Can you imagine a husband and a wife, you know, going all week, they've done a whole bunch, they had a whole bunch to do, and then they say, you know what, this is a day for us, and somebody don't show up. They say, you know what, I had to stay late for work, and I had to. No, you make arrangements. You do what you got to do to be in your proper appointments with the people that you love. One of the things that the master said off, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's not just talk about keeping it, but let's really keep it. Now, that word keep is not just do a thing. That's another thing that the Holy Spirit was really dealing with me about the keeping of the command or keeping the Sabbath. That word keep there has nothing to do with you just figuring out how to do something on your own. That word keep there has everything to do with you guarding something. We can go all the way back to the garden on this. Dress it and keep it, Adam. Guard it and cultivate it. Protect it. Protect the environment, because this is the environment that I come and I meet with you. He said, guard the Sabbath. Guard and keep are two different things. If I'm guarding the thing, that means I see the value in it and it needs to be protected because it has to be kept. But if I keep a thing, I might decide I might not feel like keeping it today. But guarding it gives it a different status in my mind, in my heart, in my life. It's a perpetual covenant. He calls it a perpetual covenant. Are you hearing me? Verse 18, it says, listen, he gave unto Moshe when he had made an end of communing with him. In other words, when he got done talking to him about all this stuff he talked to him about, it says that he gave him upon Mount Sinai two tables of testimony, tables of stone. What's this tables of stone all about? That means it's unmovable. This is not up for conversation. You know, when children are children, they're funny. Until they're trained, unless they're trained, I should say, they may think that conversation is an option when you tell them to do something. He says this is non-negotiable. Two tables of stone written with my finger. That can't even be erased. In other words, it's set in stone, it's immovable, and I wrote it with my own finger. That means you think a decree of a king is something? Let the decree of the Father that he's written in stone be settled in your heart, be unmovable in your heart. You know, when the word of the Lord began to come to Joshua, there was a word that was spoken to Joshua. It said, listen, this book of the law, don't let it depart out of your mouth. But you're going to meditate in it. He wasn't just talking about this portion of Torah. He was actually talking about the addendum that Moshe had given as well, that he wrote based on what the Father was telling him with his own hand. He said, but there's a meditation that this takes. How do you come into a place of manifestation? Because you have been in a place of meditation. I need you to make a note of that. How you come into manifestation is because you operate in a place of proper meditation. You can't come into manifestation, divine manifestation, without divine meditation. There has to be something that's on your mind, that's coming out of your mouth. It got to be coming out of your very pores. You understand what I'm saying? The very substance, it becomes the very substance of the thing that you're hoping for. Mighty God. It's written with the finger of Yah. I think I want to save the rest of this for next weekend because it's a lot to go into. When we start talking about this golden calf, and we don't have that many, so, I mean, I can do this. I can add this to next week's Torah prophetic conversation because it's not a lot. It's not a lot, but it is intensive. I want to give some attention to the golden calf. I want to give some attention to the purpose that they did this. I want to give some attention to the fact that they're using something that the Father gave. See, this is what this really all boils down to, and we'll come back to this next week because I really do need to rest. I got to be up at 6:30 in the morning to read the word with the saints. What this all boils down to is becoming a master builder. Mm-hmm. Yep. A true mason. Not the Masonic order that's in the earth, but one that's a master builder, one that's been given a master blueprint to do a thing that mimics and mirrors, I don't want to say mimic, that mirrors, because see the enemy mimics, that mirrors the kingdom in the earth. You hear what I'm saying? This is important. Why would they do this? Why would they, in the midst of contribution, in the midst of participation in a thing, in the midst of being commanded to bring something specific to give an offering, in the midst of building, why would they create or begin to build something other than the Mishkan, the tabernacle? You know, and at the end of the day, the Father wants a tabernacle with his sons. And so this is the hour that we're to be building the tabernacle of Yah. That thing that they're building over there or calling themselves going to build, that ain't got nothing to do with the scripture. And, you know, people, the sad thing about it is that people really think that that's some kind of fulfillment of prophecy when it's absolutely not. Because the Bible is declaring that the thing that the Father is after is the thing that's not built with man's hands. It's a temple that is built by the hands of God, whose maker and builder is Yah. I'm going to pull that verse up before we get off here. I'm going to pull that up. I'm going to pull it up. Hebrews 11:10. I'm pulling it up for you right now. Hebrews 11:10. For he looks for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is Yah. He wasn't looking for the city of David to be rebuilt again. And I want you to see one of the things that the disciples begin to ask him when he came. They wanted to know, are you here to restore the kingdom? They didn't say, are you here to rapture us? You know, I don't know where people get all these concepts from. They didn't say, are you here to rapture us? They wanted to know, are you here to restore the kingdom? Not are you here to build a church, but are you here to restore the kingdom? Are you hearing me? Church wasn't even an imagination in the heart of Yah. It wasn't even in the mind of the Mashiach. It wasn't even on the mind of the apostles and the prophets. Are you hearing me? That's a whole nother subject. the ecclesia and the church are not the same thing. And I know I keep pressing that issue, but if we don't come to that understanding, then we'll never understand kingdom. Just like kingdom and church are not the same thing. They're just not. I know we've been raised in a specific thing and we've been taught by a specific system, but I'm telling you, until we abandon the systems that we've been raised in and begin to see the word for what it is, the word supports itself. It doesn't need interpretation. It has testimony. It has witness all by itself. All you have to do is study to show yourself approved. All you have to do is dig it out. It's right here. I know people say, oh, the Hebrew children was the first church. No, they was not a church. Stop saying stuff. I sound like somebody else I love right now. Stop saying stuff. Y'all just be saying stuff. The Hebrew children were not the first church. They were the first people that the Father called out. They were the first ecclesia. They were the first body of people that were called out of a place and called into relationship with Yah to do a specific thing in the earth, and that was to be an example of who their God was, so for men to see who they were, what they were carrying, so that men would come to where they were and want to do things the way that they do them, to see the wisdom of what they're operating in. That's what that was about. It wasn't church. We're going to come back to this next week. Again, I'm excited about it. Our passage for this coming week, I'm just going to start giving you guys the passage because I think that's important as well. Let me give it to you right now while I got you on here. The portions for this week are, and this is Torah, Exodus 35, verse 1 through 38, verse 20, Vayikel. Mm-hmm. That's the Torah portions for this week. It means he gathered, Vayikel. Exodus 35, verse 1 through 38, 20. The prophetic reading for next week is 1 Kings 7, 40. And we'll go over the prophetic reading for this week as well on next Sunday. 1 Kings 7, 40 through 50, chapter 7, I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 40 through 50, and the covenant passage, the new covenant passage is Matthew 12, verse 1 through 13. We'll go over those things next week. I need to get up here and get some rest. Listen, if you have not already joined us on Read Through the Bible in 30 days, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. Let me see if I can pull up the number to give you for the call. My eyes are extra tired. They really are. They're tired. It's time to rest. One of the things about kingdom momentum, I've been saying this a lot lately, and I just think that it bears repeating over and over again. When you're in momentum, the wisdom of momentum is knowing when to put on the brakes, knowing when to stop, knowing when to rest, knowing when to slow down. That's important. Very important. I wanted to get this today. I wanted to get this done tonight because I really wanted to push through it. But I also know my stopping points. I know when I need to pump the brakes. You understand what I'm saying? And I need to pump the brakes. I need to rest. The conference line for Read Through the Bible in 30 Days is 605-472-5767. Again, 605-472-5767, and the access code is 751-229. Again, that access code is 751-229. We're there every morning at 6:30, Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible in 30 days. We're coming up on day 10 or 11. I think it's day 11. No, it's day 10. Coming up on day 10 in just a few hours here. So we'd love to have you with us. We're looking for readers. If you'd like to read, definitely call in and let me know you're on the line and that you're available to read. We're excited about all that the Father's revealing in this, you know, in this large consuming of the word at one time. It's just amazing. Just amazing. We've got some amazing gatherings coming up this month, this year. I'll say this month. We don't have nothing coming up this month. But what we're doing right now, till we get through this place, we won't be doing nothing else. But we got some amazing gatherings coming up this month, and we'll be talking to you about them as soon as we get the flyering done for them and get everything set. We'll be bringing those things to you. We've got a men's gathering coming up, a woman's gathering. We've got a prophetic gathering that will be coming up. I know this sounds funny, but I'm definitely, we're going to do some deliverance gatherings as well, but I'm definitely going to, I've been commissioned to do some deactivations. And when I say that, I mean that with no pun intended. A lot of people have been activated by devils. You've been activated into some foolishness, and this is the hour where you need to be disassociated with diabolic covenants. Anytime you're searching and you're running around looking for somebody to say something to you, that means you don't have relationship with the Father as you should. So you need to connect yourself to a people and to leadership that will mandate you to have a relationship with the Father. Yeah, I'm a leader, apostle by all rights and privileges. I'm a prophet, but my job is not to take you unto myself and to woo you by my words. It's to direct you back to Him. Everything that we do is concerning you being reconciled back to the Father. That's what the Master came for, and that's what every son is about, reconciliation. That's the ministry that we've been given. So we love you tonight. Listen, if you have not become familiar with our mantra for this season, for this hour, the Father told me to share this with the sons. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. And the sooner we recognize the we in body, we'll abandon the me. And we'll get greater things done. I love you so much. I can't wait to talk to you again soon. Listen, you're blessed, and don't forget it. We look to hear from you really soon. And if you need to get in touch with me, I'm on Facebook, KRISTAL. My page is open. My email is open. You know, my inbox, whatever. You can get to me if you need to. We're on YouTube. I believe that's Rock Mogul Ministries on YouTube. That's where we do our Rock Mogul Nation stuff. And we're also going to put up a bunch of these things that we're doing on Blog Talk. So it's our page that kind of contains a lot of different things. Also, we're on Periscope. Apostle Crystal Lee is what I am on Periscope. So there's plenty for you to view there. We appreciate your time. We thank you. All of the gifts that are on, all of the leaders that have joined us tonight, we thank God for your gift. And for the gift that you are to the body, we want to join forces with you. Listen, the prophetic roundtable will be back and kicking in March. Again, until we're done with this Through the Bible in 30 days, everything is called to a halt. We're going to walk through this thing as the Father has commanded us to walk through it. And then we'll be restoring prophetic roundtable on Monday nights at 7 p.m. and Faith for Family on Friday nights at 7 p.m. We'll be restoring those things and then adding just a couple of more things. Of course, twice a month on Saturdays is Rock Mogul Nation. We'll be restoring that as well. And the theme that we have, or the series that we have coming up in the month of March, is the Mass Exodus. And the Holy Spirit gave that to me sometime the end of January. And this month we'll be sharing about that. This month I've seen that three times in secular society. So I need some leaders that are prophetically charged to look into these matters, and let's see what the Holy Spirit is really saying about the mass exodus, because He's talking to His sons. I released that at the end of January. It's been on my Facebook page for some time, and just this month, three times, the word mass exodus was produced on some major things. I think Newsweek was one of them. There's a game that came out this month, and then there's something else that was having a discussion about the mass exodus. So we're going to look at these things and see what the Father is saying to us. Until the next time we meet, I love you so much. And listen, you're blessed. I don't want you to forget it. We're going to head on out of here tonight. Peace to you.